everybody. Thank you for still listening to this podcast. I know it's been a very long time since I recorded anything. I was able to retrieve my account back. I was logged out of the account. For some reason, it wasn't letting me log back in. I think I know why, because I have a different podcast in Spanish. It's similar to what we speak about in this one, but I feel like I have more content in the Spanish one, because since I was not able to log into this one, I was recording my other account in Spanish, and then I couldn't log back into this one. But you know what, I got a new phone, and thank God, yes, it let me get on this back on this podcast. So I'll be recording more. There's so many things I like to share with you guys. You know, this podcast is about codependency, addictions to drugs, pills, people, and about many things. You know, this neurosis that we get, about loneliness, about how it's a bittersweet, you know, it's like people talk about being by yourself, and you know, a lot of healing is going to come to your life, and it does, but it's kind of like, it's like a two-edged sword, you know, like it's good, but it doesn't feel good, and there's times that you feel really bad because you're by yourself. But then again, those are the moments that birth a new you. You know, those are the moments where you think about all the stuff you lived. You think about not only everything that they've done to us, right? Because as an addict or ex-addict or whatever you want to call it, you know, we tend to talk about who hurt us, who's done us wrong. But we fail to talk about who we have hurt. You know, we don't want to talk about that. We just want to talk about who made us cry, who broke our heart, who stole from us, who cheated on us. But we don't want to talk about what we've done. You know, our ego doesn't find that very, very comfortable to do. One thing that I want to leave with you guys, this is a very brief podcast, but I think the part of my life that I'm at right now, I am, and I'm going to do a longer podcast on this, what I'm about to tell you guys, is being the observer of self. You know, it, like there's times that I'm about to say something, and I just leave a 2-second pause, and I don't say it, I don't blur it out. I just hold off for 2 seconds. And then after those 2 seconds, I'm like, man, I'm so glad I didn't say that. I'm so glad I didn't speak my mind right now, you know, just like that. And just by me doing that, you know, my life is changing, because I'm at least thinking before I'm speaking, you know? And so, being an observer of myself, it allows me to see myself and ground myself more. You know, I remember, because I used to go to codependency groups, you know, like anonymous groups, you know, and or AA, you know, groups like that. And I remember I used to talk about, you know, the girl I was with, how she did this, how she did that, you know, and I used to be up there and talking about all the stuff that she's done to me, you know, all the cheating, all the witchcraft, all the, you know, all the toxic stuff that you live in, those kind of crazy relationships, you know what I'm saying? Those addictive, crazy relationships. And I used to talk about that. And one day, as I was, you know, talking about all those things that I had gone through with her, I remember it's almost as if something told me, you know, to get out of my body and to observe myself from like 10 feet away. And I imagined that I was one of those people that was listening to me as I was telling my story. And I was seeing myself through their eyes, right? You know, I pretended like I was one of them. And I was seeing myself in every area. You know, I was seeing myself like, how are these people looking at me? How am I coming across to these people? How am I being viewed by these people? How do I sound? Because I just told them my story of, you know, somebody that cheated on me and I forgave her, and then she cheated again and I forgave her. And, you know, I started seeing myself as I kept saying the same story over and over, like every time that I would go to the, you know, to those groups. You know, these people knew all my story, like they memorized my story probably. You know, because I kept telling my story, my sad story, and telling my sad story, you know. So then I told myself, I was like, you know what? I don't sound very empowered. I don't sound like a man of decision, like a very powerful guy. You know, I don't sound that I have any authority. I sound more, you know, when I was up there, I sounded weak. I sounded like somebody that had no self-esteem. I sounded like somebody that, you know, that would allow for a girl to cheat on him, that would allow lies, that would allow, you know, her to be texting other people and me forgiving her and, you know, just taking her back and all these things. So I started seeing myself, and I told myself, I was like, you know what, I can't. No way, that's not who I am. You know, so I stopped saying my sad story at those groups. You know, and I think it's part of my pride, you know. I was like, okay, you know what? From now on, I'm not gonna say all the stuff that I went through with this other girl. You know, I'm not gonna say it. Because the more I say it, the weaker I sound. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how can you trust in business somebody that, you know, that gets punked by a girl? You know, no offense. I mean, I love women. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, how can you respect somebody that gets punked by their significant other in front of people? You can't. No way, you know? So I had to remind myself who I really was. You know, who was I before I met, you know, that girl? A few friends call her the redheaded demon. Well, I've called her the redheaded demon before, but anyways. And my son says, what did he say? My son said, redhead, red flags. But anyways, no offense. You know, it's not like she was like a natural born redhead. She just dyed her hair red all the damn time. That should tell you what kind of relationship that was. Nevertheless, I had to remind myself who I was, and I had to, you know, see myself as an observer, you know, like in my living room. Imagine myself sitting across, you know, my, you know, the me, the Ernie with authority, the strong one, the businessman, the mentor, the guy that's done a lot of things in life, right? That guy had to speak to the one that was in the gutter. And they had to have this conversation as an observer to the guy that was going through the drama, right? And as I was speaking to myself, I just reminded myself, like, how did I get here, you know? How did I allow anybody to punk me? How did I fall into a vicious cycle of addiction now for a person? You know? And I remember there was a time where I felt, where I had this feeling, you know? I was following her because she wouldn't answer the phone. And, you know, I was just going through this crazy obsession day, and, you know, she wanted to break up, and I was like, shit, I don't want to break up. I want to talk to you in person, and let me talk to you. And she was just ghosting me, like, sick. Ghosting me. Crazy, right? So I remember it was about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm following her, and she's, like, she's in the car, and she's laughing. You know, she's on the phone with somebody else, and she's, like, caressing her hair. And she's, like, at a stoplight, and she's just caressing her hair, and she's, like, laughing. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, what's going on here? You know, why doesn't she answer my phone? So I follow her probably about a good 15 miles on the freeway. And when she got out of the freeway, I lost her, you know, because I got a red light. And I'm like, damn, because I had to keep enough distance so that she wouldn't know that I was stalking her. That I was following her, right? But I wanted to know. I was like, man, you know, if you're cheating again, like, I'm just gonna lose it. I'm gonna snap. But thank God that I lost her at a red light, right? So I have no idea where she went. So once I lost her at the red light, check this crazy thing out. I felt the same feeling that I had felt, you know, 25 years prior or 20 years prior. When I did coke or when I did meth, I felt that same nervousness, the same anxiety, the same panic. When your stomach just, you know, you feel like you want to vomit, and you're sweating and you're shaking. Like, dude, I felt that nasty rush again. And I remember as I was turning, I was on, you know, just getting out of the freeway, and I lost her. Like, you know, when I got out of the freeway, she took off somewhere else. I had no idea where she went. And I was driving through the streets like crazy to see if I could find her. And I couldn't find her. And I remember as I was making a left, I remember that, you know, I don't remember if I cried. I don't even think I had the sadness to cry. I just felt like an addict. I felt like really desperate, right? And then I told myself, I'm never, ever going to feel like this ever again. I never want to feel like this ever again. This is the last time that I'm ever going to live this. You know, so a few days after that, you know, I broke up with her on her birthday. And I sent her a text message, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this no more. You know, don't pay me the money you owe me. Don't ever look for me. I'm never going to look for you. You know, I love you. But just never look for me. And that day at 9 p.m., I blocked her from everything. Absolutely everything. I deleted her number. I blocked her from every social media. Any way that she wanted to contact me, she couldn't. But most importantly, I deleted her from my heart, right? I didn't want to do that, but I had to. Because I didn't want to be in slavery again. You know, I was a slave to, you know, narcotics. I was a slave to pills for seasons, different seasons of my life. And with this one, it was a person. You know, but I was being a slave to somebody like that, because she had this thing called the dark triad of humanity. And if you don't, like, you can Google it. The dark triad of humanity is, it's basically a pyramid. And whoever has this, good luck. There's no coming back from that. What it is narcissism, Machiavellism, and psychopath. So if somebody has all those three features, you're screwed. They have been so damaged that, you know, and it usually comes from the childhood. They've been so damaged in their life that they are forced to form a new attack system so they will not get attacked. You see, so these people that have that, like Hitler is one of them, just different people that have that, they're very good manipulators. You know, they get what they want at all costs, you know. So anyway, so leaving that relationship at the moment, it was horrible for me. You know, it was very difficult for me. But it saved my life. You know, so far it's been a little bit over 3 years that I let that relationship go. And I don't regret it. I'm happy that I let it go. You know, but I was just saying that, you know, the same connection in between, you know, leaving the drugs, or that you know, when you're shaking and you're just nervous and you're anxiety, you could feel the same thing for a person. I'm serious. You know, the AA book, I was reading something and it talked about that there's some couples, there's some people that they should have never got married. Those couples should have never have had kids. They should have never lived together. They should have never lived together and have kids. Some of these couples were only meant to be a one-night stand. Some of these couples were only meant to be, you know, a weekend thing, and that's it. But since you have a, you know, broken you know, guy and then a broken girl, or whatever you like, and then, you know, they hook up, but since there was already a deficit of love, they, you know, they had all these internal, unreserved internal conflicts in their heart, and then they meet, and then they have kids, and then they have broken kids, then there's broken homes, you know. So you know, I learned a lot these 6-7 years. I feel like I grew a lot. You know, I went through a lot and I survived a lot. But I'm thankful to God and to life where I'm at right now, you know. And one of those teachings that helped me out a lot was, again, the observer, observing myself, you know, and telling myself, like, you, like, I had to, like, basically yell at myself, and I had to tell myself, you know what, you're never gonna live that feeling again. We're never gonna repeat that. This is never gonna happen again. I'm serious, I told that to myself, because I seen myself, like, I imagine, when I told myself that, I imagined that I was sitting, you know, riding shotgun, and that I told myself, I was like, dude, you're not gonna live this shit ever again. Ever. You're not gonna live this feeling again. You will not bow down to a man again. You will not bow down to a woman again. You will not bow down to any coke again. You will not bow down to meth again. You will not bow down to narcotics again, pills, nothing. I'm done. I bow down to those substances and to people many years of my life. So, you know, I'm closing this little podcast with you guys right now. But what I want to share with you guys, what I wanted to share with you guys was that being an observer of self. There's so many things that, you know, we think that we're doing right. We think that we're the life of the party, this and that. You know what? Sometimes if you observe yourself, you're going to wish you just remain quiet. And you don't talk so much. And you don't overpromise so much. And you don't try to be the coolest person in the room so much. You know, I mean, because see, we observe others and we're like, oh my God, you know, what is that? What is that? What is that girl wearing? Or what is that guy, you know, talking all this crap? And he sounds so, you know, like a lowlife. Or, you know, it's really ghetto. You know, why do they talk like that? Why do they act like that? But you see, they're not practicing this little theory called the observer. You know, there's no conscience on their words. There's no, they're not being coherent. You know, they say one thing, but they act a whole other different way. So the title of this one is The Observer. And I'm going to make a more, we'll go more into depth with this observer theory that I have going on. Okay, I just wanted to touch base with you guys. It's already 20 minutes. I was not even expecting to record anything, and then I was like, you know what, I'm gonna record something and I'm gonna tell the people that I'm back and that I'm gonna be recording more. And stay tuned, guys. Stay tuned. If you're in this page, if you're in this podcast, and if you're going through any addictions, and if you're going through either narcotics addictions or people addictions, or you're in this very sick, toxic relationship, I'm going to tell you something. I had to leave behind the drug scene, narcotic scene, and a toxic relationship scene. And I had to leave also a scene of, you know, being with multiple people, multiple girls, like that crazy scene. Once you leave all that behind, your life starts to change. You know, when I was doing coke, I didn't think I could stop doing coke. When I was doing meth, I really didn't think I could stop doing meth. When I was popping pills, I don't even know how I got through that one. Opiate or just crazy, you know, it's a crazy addiction. And being in the relationship and being in the rotation with multiple people, multiple girls, you think you're not gonna get out of those things. And when you finally do, when you finally leave all that stuff behind, and you just, that's not your life anymore, then you realize that there's all kinds of stuff that you need to repair. There's all kinds of relationships that you broke. There's all kinds of family members you've hurt. There's so much work to do. You know, we gotta stop living a life of conflict. We don't have the luxury to waste any more time, guys. We don't have the luxury to waste any more time. We don't have the luxury to screw up anymore. We're not eternal human beings. You know, I had a good friend of mine passed away yesterday. He died from a heart attack. He died in the roof, fixing his roof. He never came back down. And his family found out that, you know, he was dead in the roof. You know, I think I lost about 4 people this 2023, 4 people I knew. And then I wonder, because, you know, since they were, you know, they were friends, I wonder if they ever got to fix those inner conflicts of the soul, those inner conflicts with family. I don't know. I hope they did. But me, I don't want to die with unresolved conflicts in my life, especially with family and loved ones. We don't have the luxury to screw up. I wanted to say another word, but I don't want to get canceled, because you know how it is. Everybody's all sensitive. Can't even say fuck no more. I mean, frunk. Can't say frunk no more. We can't frunk up no more, guys. We can't frunk up anymore. We don't have the luxury to frunk up. Can't afford it no more. But anyways, it was really good chatting with you guys. Excuse my foul language. But it's, believe it or not, it's from, it comes from a good place, believe it or not. I mean it with good intentions. You know, we don't have the luxury to mess up. You know, I'm 46 years old. I don't have the luxury to mess up anymore. But anyways, stay tuned. I'm going to keep recording. And remember, be the observer of self. Observe yourself. Wait 2 seconds before you talk. Just try that for one day. Before you're going to say something, just wait 2 seconds. Before you overpromise, just wait 2 seconds. And sometimes those 2 seconds, you know, you'll be like, oh my God, I was about to give this guy a ride. I'm glad somebody else said that they would take him. You'll be surprised. You'd be surprised what happens when you become the observer of self. But anyways, talk to you soon, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.